Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Wow. I really appreciate that, Betty. I'm so grateful for the way you just helped me to connect with the cross. And you know, as we're here to celebrate the resurrection today, well, there can't be a resurrection unless first there's a cross. This time we're going to take about 15 minutes or so to dig into the scriptures. And this will be the sermon today. More of a shorter lesson, all to help us get ready to take the communion and celebrate the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And then, as Juan Carlos alluded to earlier, we have some surprises for you. We're going to pick up in Mark chapter 7. If you're our guest today, we're very glad to have you. We've been doing a series in the book of Mark. And we're picking up today in Mark 7, verse 14. And we're just going to simply look at 9 verses here today. So let's start in verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by coming into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." That's pretty much the lesson. But let's read on. Amen. It says, when he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he replied. Wow. Jesus just kind of laid it out with his guys there. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into the heart, but into the stomach and out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And the brother said, "Amen." And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Amen. Oh, where was I? Okay. He went on. "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's," and let's say women's, "hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery," wow, "greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man or woman unclean." Okay, just a light little lesson there for you as we prepare for the communion. Amen.
Amen, Rob. Love it.
Don't want to get too heavy, but you know, when you were around Jesus, it got deep quick. Jesus didn't beat around the bush, right? He spoke directly to the heart. So, I've got 2 thoughts for you today. And really, they both come from my study of the commentary on this passage. Thought number 1, defilement, okay? The act of being unclean, being defiled, which is what we've been talking about. Just to cap off, if you weren't here last week, some Pharisees and teachers of the law came around Jesus and challenged Jesus because his disciples were eating food with unclean hands. So, instead of going through the ceremonial, traditional washing of the hands, and cups and pitchers and kettles. They just came in from a hard day's work and just dug right in to eat. And the Pharisees came right up to Jesus and said, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? And Jesus' response was equally, no, it was more intense. He just said, Isaiah was right when he called you a hypocrite. Basically, how dare you challenge me why we're not living according to your tradition? Why aren't you in love with God? Because you go through the motions, but where's your heart? And so, the point here, this is a further teaching. Jesus pulls them together and says, nothing from outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. It's what comes out of your heart that tells if you're clean or unclean. So, defilement comes from an impure heart, not a violation of external rules. Okay? I'll say it again. Defilement, which isn't a good thing, doesn't come from the breaking of external rules, but it comes from an impure heart. Okay? And thought number two. Fellowship with God is not interrupted by unclean hands or food, but by sin. Okay? It's not about, oh yeah, your hands aren't clean, so God didn't want to fellowship with you. It's sin that separates us from God. So, let's think about this for a second while we flip to Matthew 23. Nothing outside of you can make you unclean by coming into you. That's a challenging thought. Okay? You may think, oh no, stuff comes into me and that makes me unclean. No, Jesus says that's not true. And we're going to talk about why that's not true. But in Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus has another admonishment for the religious and the religious leaders. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Second time we've seen that word here. What's a hypocrite? Someone that acts one way, but really is another. There it is. Someone that puts on a face, puts on a mask, and it can be termed with our common day word of actor. Right? We want to look good. Hey, it's Easter Sunday. Right? I've already seen all the kids in the beautiful, fluffy, lacy dresses. And they look beautiful. Let me tell you, there's some people dressing up today. Yeah. Getting their Easter groove on. But God is much more concerned about our hearts than how good we look on the outside. We're really concerned how we look on the outside to people. But we've got to learn to change our mind and make sure we look good on the inside to God. So, woe to you, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean.
Come on, bro.
You see what we're talking about here? So many times I talk to people, and maybe you can relate today. You're going through a hard time. Going through a tough time. And I'm sure if we can take the time during fellowship to get deep, there's some struggles going on here. There's some challenges. I'm so grateful for the Church of Jesus Christ, where we can come and actually not just put our best foot forward and say, oh, how are you? God bless you. Amen. And not talk about what's eating us out inside. But we're a family here, where we can talk about what hurts. And we can get help from different people. Because there's so many different members of the church and disciples who are strong in different ways. Who have been through different things. And who can be helpful at different times. That's why I'm so grateful for the church. And I hurt for people that don't have body of Christ. I think of family or friends that when their marriage is in trouble, who do they talk to? They don't have anyone to talk to with any great input to give them, so they go spend thousands and thousands of dollars to talk to a stranger with some letters by his name. And we've got the Word of God that we can help each other with. Right here. But we fall into the same trap. The world has influenced us. We're feeling down. What do we think? Well, let me just go to a movie. I'll feel better. Yeah. Some temporary encouragement. Hey, that's the good. Take your mind off it. That's as opposed to going to the bar. Or getting some drugs. Or sex. Or whatever else people use to fill the void when they're down. And all God wants is for us to draw near to Him so that He can help us. What Jesus says the problem is, it's not the outside of the cup. You don't need to go out and buy a new dress to feel better. Right? You don't need to get a sharp new haircut, guys, or a hairdo, gals. Or anyway, I better not get into that. To feel better, you need to purify your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So, Jesus says the answer is the heart. What was the problem with the Pharisees? Their hearts were full of greed and self-indulgence. We read a long list of sins earlier. Man, can we just boil it down to greed and self-indulgence? Because that's where all the other ones come from. See what I'm saying? And you know, it's funny because I talk to people all the time about God, and so many times people want to argue doctrine. And really it's just a mask for the greed and self-indulgence in their heart. If you look at our lives, are they just full of self? Let's stop arguing like we know doctrine. When the problem's a heart problem. We've got to deal with that heart problem. David, the great King David, after falling prey to adultery, deceit, and murder, and reaping the consequences from it all, what did he pray? Psalm 51? Create in me a pure heart. Okay. I'm going to tell you a thought right here that may make you mad at me. And so I want you to know it really wasn't my thought, it was Greg's thought. Because Greg and I were having a little Bible study together yesterday talking about this passage, and he came up with a thought that was kind of disgusting for me, but yet it made sense. And I thought if I share that, some people might get upset, so I'll blame Greg. I mean, I'll give Greg the credit. Okay. After church, I've been asking people what you're going to go do today. And wouldn't you know it, so many people's plans include some good food. Aren't we glad Jesus declared all foods clean? Correct. Yes. That is awesome. And I already asked, man, what you gonna have, man? Ham? Ashley said, we're gonna have some ham. I said, oh, Teresa made turkey. No, I don't like turkey. I want ham. Yeah, but Teresa Puerto Ricanizes that turkey. Put some garlic in that turkey. That is some good turkey. Okay. Then I heard macaroni and cheese. Monkey bread. Man, ask Ashley what that is. Whatever it is, it's gonna be good, I bet you. Now, the food that you're going to go eat today. As Greg said, you know, food, man, before you eat it, doesn't it smell good and look good and taste good? What the scriptures teach is that doesn't make you unclean. Because it doesn't go into your heart. It goes into your stomach. And then out of your body. Listen, can we be honest that when it comes out, it doesn't look, smell, and taste, well, let's say, as good as it going in? Right, Greg? It's very vivid, isn't it? But check it out. We're going to give missions in a couple weeks. Amen. And part of that missions is going to our churches in India, where so many people live, and the water supply they have is waste. And we were alarmed because some of the power went out today, and the bathrooms are dark, and we have to have auxiliary power, and the elevators were up, so if they weren't working, we'd had to carry our dear sisters, Leah and Irene, who are in the wheelchairs, up the three flights of stairs. But it's not India, guys. We got great, great sewer systems in America. Just go. I've been to Manila and got off the plane, and it's not adults begging, it's children begging for money and food. And yet, the reason I wanted you to get this vivid picture is because that's how our sin looks to God. We have plants in America to purify our water so that we'd like to drink it, right? We have refineries. Like I grew up in Texas, and you see these big oil refineries. They take crude oil, right? And the oil goes into these refineries, and let me read you the definition of a refinery. Okay? It's an industrial plant that uses mechanical and chemical means to purify a substance or to convert it to a form that's more useful. So it takes the impure in and it spits out something pure and useful. Okay? That's what our hearts are supposed to do when they're working correctly. God gave us a refinery right here in us. Now, if the oil comes out of the refinery and it's still dirty, something's wrong with the refinery. You got to fix the refinery. You with me? Things may come in, but they're not as ugly as they are when they go out. Guys, see a pretty girl. But does lust come out? Ladies, there's a nice man at work. Has some money. Does adultery come out? It's not what goes in that makes you unclean. It's what comes out. See, when the heart is close to God, when it's a pure heart, and guys, you see a pretty woman, you say, I need to invite her to church and make sure she's got a relationship with God. Not, I wonder what she can do to please me sexually. That's an impure heart. And we all struggle with this. The issue is dealing with our heart. Whether it's greed. Wow, that's a nice car. Right? I need to invite them to church so he can sell that for missions. As opposed to, let me steal it. Or even, let me murder for that car or that woman. Or let me murder because he took my woman. And a lot of times what we do is we say, hey, and I know you said this, and my challenge today to you is take responsibility. Because what do we say? She made me so angry. No, it's not what came in that made you angry. That anger was already in you. It just exposed it. Nobody makes you sin. James teaches us, it's from our own desires inside of us that make us sin. Right? He made me shut down. No, you chose to shut down. Yeah, it was hard, but you chose it. And you chose to get angry. And you chose to commit adultery. See, we got to get Jesus' attitude. Because He chose to walk that road out of His love for you and me. And my one challenge for today is this. Stop blaming other people for your sin. Amen.
Come on, bro.
It's not dirty hands or dirty food that interrupts our relationship with God or other people. It's sin. Sin is what separates us from God, and it separates us from people. Right. And many times the people we've loved the most. But that sin gets in there. I know there's situations in the church right now where God wants you to hear this message. And I know there's situations of guests that are visiting. You know, every Sunday people come up, man, did you know? How'd you know what was that for me? We're all the same. Right? Now I'm fired up. We're not all the same color. Yesterday I was trying to turn on Channel 2 and see who was winning the Masters golf tournament. And there was an ad to buy some CDs for a gospel superfest. They were singing. And there wasn't one white person on that TV show. And then I turned over to the gospel channel. And they had a Gaither Family Singers Hour. They were singing some gospel, southern style, and not one black person was on that TV show. So I'm glad we're not all the same color. That's not how God's church ought to be. But we are all the same in here. Our hearts. We all struggle. I appreciate Romans 7:7, the great apostle Paul, when he said, man, the good I want to do, I don't do. But the evil I don't want to do, this I do. Ah! And he said, it's just the sin living in me. And he wasn't blaming the sin. He was admitting his weakness. He said, but who's going to rescue me? Thanks be to Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for Jesus. Not just for the death he died, but for the life he lived. For the teachings that he gave us. Karl Marx has a famous saying. Religion is the opiate of the masses. Or some translate, religion is the opium of the people. He's a socialist. What was his point? People just use religion to get high and feel good. Now, I just want to say, I agree with them. I think religion is the opiate of the masses. I think so many people are going to go to church today and feel good. They're going to hear them singers. They're going to get high and feel awesome. And never, ever deal with the heart inside. Please, I'm begging you. Don't walk out of here today and not deal with the heart inside. Religion is the opiate of the masses. Jesus' teaching. Now, that's not the opiate of the masses. Jesus' preaching was, you need to repent. You need to change. The message of repentance is not the opium of the people. That's the boot in our behind that gets us to change our lives. And it's what got Jesus killed. It's what got Jesus crucified. Because Jesus didn't come to make everybody feel good. He came to call us to deal with our hearts. And deal with that sin that separates us from God and separates us from each other. And He came to call us to come near to God. To draw near to God. And to purify our hearts. Let's end in Romans 6. In Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, that's not a pure heart, is it? By no means. We are dead. We have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. On Resurrection Sunday, God's dream for each and every person is that they could live a new life. That they too could raise with Jesus. You know, last fall we met someone for the first time, and that was Nikki DeVaris. We got to see Nikki come out to church, and we got to meet a fine young woman. And we fell in love with her. And we really fell in love with her heart. And she fell in love with God with all her heart. And we got to see her live this verse. We got to see her die to herself, be buried in baptism, and raised to a new life. In January, we got to see another dear soul, her sister Maria. And we got to see her live this verse. And we fell in love with her heart. I'll never forget, it was like one of the first Sundays of the year, if not the first. And I went up to fellowship her and say hi. And as I spoke to her, first it was just kind of talking about the studies, about the discipleship study, and then she burst into tears. And she said, I know there's some things I need to change and get right. But I saw her heart. And I knew right then and there, it wouldn't be long. And next Sunday, we got to see her live this verse. We got to see her die to her old life and be buried with Christ in baptism and raised to a new life. This past Friday night at our campus teen devotional, we had a number of our young people share, and one of them was Nikki. And they got to share their vision for the ministry. And I thought, everybody did a great job. That was a cranking night. I got a text from Nikki afterwards. And it was just a thankful text. And she said, I've been praying to be able to speak in God's name. And I want to thank you for the opportunity that you gave me tonight. She said, I know I have a lot to learn, but I'm just thankful for this opportunity. That's the heart. Well, after we pray for communion, Maria's going to sing a song for us. And then we have a special phone call I think we're going to get for the contribution message. And then Nikki has her young disciples ready, and they're going to perform for us. And I'm very excited because one of them is my daughter. She's been working with them to do a song for us today. But then we're going to get to see another dear soul, their sister Anna, live this verse. Amen. Having died to her old life, we're going to get to see her buried with Christ and raised to a new life. And I just have one thing to say. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very hard. Just like it is for all of us, isn't it? It's a continual process of guarding our heart. I don't think we guard our heart. I think we have some border issues with our heart. We don't guard our hearts like we need to. God said, above all else, guard your heart. Protect it. Keep it pure so that it can be that refinery. And no matter what kind of garbage Satan throws in us, it can come out righteous and pure. First Peter, Jesus said, to this you are called. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. But he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That is our example. No matter what anyone does to us, we can choose to walk that road. And to not retaliate. And to not sin. And when we do, 1 John tells us we can choose to confess and be open and honest, and we'll be purified from all unrighteousness. That's the good news. That we're that family. And I just want to thank you guys. You've done a great job with your daughters. We love them so much. We appreciate them, and we know the hearts they have. You had a great big deal to do with those hearts. And so today it seems we're going to have a DeBaris and Garcia family Easter today, because we've already heard from Juan Carlos and Betty, and now Luis is going to come on up and respond a little bit and pray for our communion. God bless you.